Good to see everybody today. Boy, it just seems like last year since I preached here, you know what I'm saying? You know, Denise did a great job last week. I want to appreciate her doing that. Just kind of, amen, there you go. That's awesome. Amen. So, we're starting a new year, right? This is going to be 2026. I'm looking forward to it. How many's been through a first few new years in your day? You know what I'm saying? So, it has. But, you know, God gave me a word for our church. I pray for one every year. And it's going to be talking about shedding shackles and running free. Shedding shackles and running free. I know that sounds kind of, maybe counterintuitive, because we know that Jesus already broke the curse and everything for us. But I'm going to go into that a little bit here in a moment. So as we're starting this new year, I always like the new year because to me it's a great time to get a reset in our life. And, you know, we should do probably some self-reflection, maybe some self-evaluation on where to plot our course for the coming year and, you know, where am I right now and where do I need to be? Always like those things at the mall where it says you are here, because every now and then, everybody ever not figure out, hey, where am I? You know what I'm saying? That's sometimes it gets like that in life. Where am I? You know, and it says, oh, you're here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, now I see where I'm at. You know, but we all go through those times in our moments. And, you know, sometimes we have to reevaluate some things and look at some stuff because, as I've shared before, we all have different systems on way we do things. Every family's maybe a little bit different. You have a different way of doing things, you know, and you kind of notice that when you go to somebody else's house, you know, that they do it a little different than you do it. And that's all fine. That's their way. But it's a good time that we come and we evaluate our systems, because sometimes, you know, our systems need to be fixed, you know, and if we keep doing the same thing over and over and we're still getting the same thing, then maybe we need to start doing that same thing and start maybe doing something a little bit different, you know, and as we do that, then maybe things will change a little bit. So I think we need to keep what is working and purge what is not. Keep what is working and purge what is not. And so we're going to start today just a little bit of time on talking about Lazarus. Everybody remembers Lazarus, right? He got something. He rose from the dead, and that's pretty awesome, I think. I don't know what it'd be like to have that happen, but you know, we're going to look at that story just briefly to kind of get some context of why I feel the Lord, you know, spoke to me about shedding shackles and running free. Okay, John 11, verse 39 to 44, it says, Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power that's in your word, Lord, the stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, that we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for daily bread, Lord, for the revelation knowledge that you've imparted to each and every one of us, Lord. I thank you for drawing us to this place and time for such a time as this, Lord, and that you're rising us up, each to fulfill the call of God upon our life. Lord, I yield to the gift that you put inside of me. Lord, I use it for your glory. I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts to be of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see a little bit from this passage as we look at it. You know, Martha, she was always the practical one a little bit. And she was the one who was so worried about her sister not helping out and different things. And here she Jesus said, roll the stone away. And she told Jesus, no, because her brother stinks. You know, how many here have a brother and you've always thought that about him anyway? You know what I mean? But this was a true story. And, you know, what I see from that is the old life stinks. You know, that old life that you and I used to be involved with. You know, maybe you can remember, maybe you can't, but I can remember a little bit of mine. And, you know, even though some of it, you know, I thought was pretty cool at the time, but as I look back as a believer now and where I'm at with Christ, I just see that that old life stinks because dead works have the smell of death on them because they're not alive unto Christ. You know, we have the impartation of the Holy Spirit in our life where God is moving and leading us and guiding us and putting us into the place we want to be. You know, and just, you know, the goal for God is for us to mature. You know, a lot of people think that the goal is for us to go to heaven. Well, that is kind of cool, and that is a coming. But right now, God's perfect will for your life is for you to be sanctified, for you to be made into the image of Christ. That's what we should be doing. We should not be just looking for the rapture bus, you know what I'm saying? Oh, and like that song we just sang there at the end, you know, come Jesus, come. I know there's days like that, but boy, we just can't live like that. We just can't live like we just want to get out of here all the time because there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done yet. There's some people that need to be saved, and it's our job to go and get them. So those dead works that you and I were involved with have the smell of death. And so I don't know if you've been around a lot of dead things. As a farm boy, I was. I witnessed death quite frequently and been involved in it in one way, shape, or the other. But, you know, when you had like an animal, like we had a pig or a cow, and back in the day, this is going to gross some of you out, but I'm sorry, just brace yourself. Maybe it won't bother you, but I can still smell death. When I even bring up these thoughts in my mind, I'm getting sick in the stomach right now. You know, back in the day, I don't know if they do that now. I'm not sure what they do. But back in the day, when we had a dead pig or a dead cow, we would drag it up right and set it right beside the road. And then you would call this company and they called them the rendering works. Has anybody ever been involved with that deal? They would call this company and then they're not exactly first responders, if you know what I'm saying. You know, it wasn't like, hello, yeah, could you come get this animal? Sure, click and oh, here they are. No, it could be several days. And they would come and take your dead animal away and they would process it and turn it into, I don't know, I think dog food, I don't really know. What it was back then. But, you know, that was just the deal. And then over a process of time of that animal laying there, depends if you're upwind or downwind, you know what I'm saying? But you would smell death. Death is putrid. It's a terrible smell. And see, that's what it is for us. When you and I yield to those dead works that we've had in our life before Christ, our BC days, our before Christ days, you know, when our righteousness is filthy rags, as it says in Isaiah 64. And that's why Jesus came to give us a new start and fresh start and everything. And what I see from this passage here, it's just kind of amazing because to me, the biggest thing was the fact that Lazarus rose from the dead. I don't know about you, but that's pretty major. To me, that's a major accomplishment. Now, I know that God has raised people from the dead times since he left. I mean, many of you maybe heard of Smith Wigglesworth. He was an old Pentecostal preacher. Anyway, he has been attributed to raising several people from the dead by the power of God. But it's something that we probably haven't really witnessed that much. You know, for the most part, for whatever reason. I have my own thinking of why we don't see as much as we do. And it's not flattering for us, you know what I'm saying? So I won't go into that today because I'm trying to make friends here today. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so the resurrection power of Jesus Christ rose Lazarus from the dead. He'd been dead 4 days. I mean, he was more than graveyard dead. He's doornail dead, just dead. And 4 days later, Jesus said, come forth. And he did. But why, if all that power of God was there at that moment, the resurrection power, the ability to raise something totally from death to life, why was he still wrapped up? Why was he still bound? There's a reason. Because even though we receive the new life of Christ, we're still bound up by some of the old life that needs to be dealt with. And through that story, we see the process of how things need to be. And, you know, the fact is that, you know, the shackles of the old life are what's holding us back from God's best for our life. And we still have them. That old life that tries to creep in. And what we see from this is the fact that we need others sometimes to help us, and we need to help each other through the process of sanctification. Now, I know the Holy Spirit does the work, but sometimes we resist the Holy Spirit, don't we? How many know we have blind spots? We have areas in our life that we just can't see. And we just think, you know, we're impervious to all these things. But, you know, the fact is that we need each other. And them shackles, you know, that we can't see that bind us. And you know, the fact is, any time that you get involved with other people, how many knows it can be a little messy? Have you ever tried to help somebody or somebody help you? And it just turns into a little bit messy stuff. Because sometimes you get around that stench. And, you know, I can't imagine, you know, being there, what I would have done that day. Could you imagine everybody standing around and they're just, whoa, Lazarus rose from the dead. And here he comes, maybe hopping out, you know, because he's bound, you know, with his hands and his legs are bound. I'm sure he hopped out there. And Jesus says to some of the guys in the crowd, hey, go unwrap him. But he stinks. How many probably would have said, oh, you go do it. And he said, no, you go do it. You know what I'm saying? You go up and unwrap him. No, you go up and unwrap him. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to help set the captives free. Because we're all bound as a captive from time to time. And that's why we need each other. And that's what church is about. That's why we come here to fellowship with each other and hopefully rub off on each other. And not just on Sundays, but we come to at another time. And on Wednesday nights, that's when we intermingle with each other and our lives are somewhat blended with each other. Yes, it can be scary sometimes because how many, I remember what it was like because I came directly out of the world. I mean, I went from serious worldly living into the church. And I was just so afraid I was going to cuss or say something stupid in front of people. So I really held myself back because I was afraid of sharing my life because I viewed my life as being such a failure, such a broken mess. But I found out that it wasn't that bad because I found out that other people in the room were broken too. They had stuff going on in their lives that wasn't fixed yet. But together we was able to work on some of these things. And together we could help grow. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, and that's why we help each other. And I know it's scared, and you know, and I hopefully you give it a shot and you try to get involved with other believers and being able to see, you know, what God can do in your life. Because it's a powerful thing. And, you know, as we think about that, that's where I got the concept of shedding shackles and running free. You know, we need to run free. You know, it's hard to run when you're in pain, isn't it? When you got a limp. Or if you're kind of bound up a little bit. You know, I wasn't really known for my success in three-legged races. You know what I'm saying? I've done a few, you know, back in the day. I've sworn them off now. But you know, them three-legged races, you know, you're just kind of held back. And see, that's what it's like when we have the shackles in our life. We're held back. We can't see them sometimes, what our problems are, what our hang-ups are. Maybe we secretly know, but we don't want to look them in the mirror, do we? But that's why we need each other, to rub off on us and to help us to change. And now I want to look at a mindset that we need to have. It's found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And you look at the scripture quite frequently, especially in the first of the year. And this passage here is a powerful passage. It is a passage that the Holy Spirit ministered through the Apostle Paul, who I like to refer to sometimes. Now, I know he was the apostle of grace. That was Paul's thing, grace. He's big on grace. But to me, he's also the apostle of the fresh start. The apostle of the fresh start. Paul knew how to reinvent himself. He knew how to make changes in his life so that he could better minister for the glory of God. And that's what you and I need to see. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren," he's talking to Christians here, "I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, maybe you're the type of person sitting here today that has a tendency to always look at your losses instead of looking at your wins. You need to put this scripture on speed dial. This needs to be highlighted. You need to write it down on a little card. You need to maybe tape it to the mirror in your bathroom, assuming you look in the mirror every now and then, right? And you need to remember this passage of being able to get that fresh start. I mean, there's a key to doing that. You know, it's not just looking at the fresh start, but we have to be a good forgetter. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able to forget some things. Now, I'm not saying sweep them under the rug and hide them and conceal them and, you know, sneak around, but I'm saying, you know, repent. Dust yourself off, get up and go on. Just get on with it. Just be able to process that and move on to the things that God has for your life. And, you know, Paul, you know, he had been through a lot of things in his life. Now, he had a great experience with God, the Holy Spirit, the Damascus experience. He is on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting the church. He was heading over there to go lock some Christians up. You know, because them Christians were defiling the Old Testament God, you know, and he thought he had to do something about it. He thought he was doing God a big favor, you know, but he wasn't. But anyway, he could have kept his focus on that how he had persecuted the church and put so many Christians in prisons and maybe some of them was tortured and who knows, maybe put to death. And also maybe he could have looked back in his life where he had held the coats, and meaning he was in hearty agreement when they stoned Stephen to death and put him to death. He could have looked at his life. I mean, how would you like to have that on your conscience? You know, that you had a major role to play in martyring a faithful Christian, you know, and after he came to Christ and everything was kind of revealed to him, and he looked back because, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and he can see, wow, man, that was a big mistake. I can't believe I did that. Has anybody said that? I can't believe I did that. You know, what was I thinking? Well, you weren't. You know, you wasn't. It's just the way it is. We wasn't thinking. But we did it. We did it. So Paul had to find a way to somewhat cope with these things. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because he could see the fact of how to forget what was behind and press forward to what is ahead. See, people who live in the past rarely live successfully in the present and never productively focus on the future. And it's a sad state of affairs. If we're always looking in the past all the time, always at the things we did and have done, and maybe we feel how we failed, and always focusing on that, you know, and just putting off, you know, forward thinking, what we had to have. You know, I remember, you know, not too much long ago, we, through a process of being involved in a situation anyway, this man was living in a camper, and it was starting to get cold, and you know, he was seeking some assistance, a place to stay. And I said, well, we can give you a night at the hotel, and that'll help you out. But I said, what are you going to do the next day? And pridefully, he looked at me and grinned and says, I just live day by day. And I said, buddy, winter's coming. You can't live day by day. You got to live with a plan. You have to have a plan. And it sunk into him. He got a plan. Because we cannot just live day by day and expect that everything's going to just fall in place all the time. We have to have a plan, and we have to do this and bring God into our decision making. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is there's some things we can fix and there's some things that we cannot fix. You know, we cannot change our past, but we can affect our present and future. And to me, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? We can affect today and we can affect tomorrow. Yesterday's already done, and thank God for the blood for that. We got the blood of Jesus to deal with our past, but we need to think about what's coming. Where do we want to go? Which way are we heading? What is the direction that we need to be going? And Paul had a technique that worked for him, and this is what he said there, you know, is that this technique that Paul used is going to bring great success. It brought great success to him. He was probably one of the most renowned apostles in the New Testament. I mean, in my opinion, he wrote more books than anybody else. The Holy Spirit used him in a mighty way. He just went through so many things. And through that process, we see how God used him because he understood some things. And one technique was the fact that he forgot what lies behind. He forgot what lies behind. That stuff that's back there in the past. You know, letting go of past failures. See, past failures have a way of creeping into our mind and dominating our response to the life we're living now. That's just what they do. They creep in there, and we all have them. We all have those things in our life that, you know, maybe we made a mistake on, and maybe have done maybe something where we really stumbled and we failed, because there's not one person here or anybody listening to my voice that has not fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. You know, I thought I was a great husband until my wife reminded me I wasn't. You know what I mean? Bless her heart. I thought I was a Bible husband, bless God. I wasn't. I fell short. And don't get me started about her. No, I'm just kidding. But see, we all have those things in our life. We all fall short. You know, I said something the other day I just can't believe came out of my mouth. Something stupid. And halfway through it, I knew it was a coming. But I didn't stop. What was I thinking? I laughed. I guess that joke wasn't as funny as I thought. Nope, it wasn't. That came out. It was really stupid. Could have been a little hurtful, but it wasn't. I mean, we survived. We're still here. Praise God. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. See? Praise God. She don't remember it. Awesome. That is good. I don't even know why I brought it up now. But, you know, past failures can creep in. They can hold us back in bondage. And here's some ways that failure affects you and I. And maybe you can identify with a few of these. If not, maybe write them down. You can maybe find somebody who does. This is their problem. You can tell them, hey, this is your problem. Right? No, don't do that. Okay. We make excuses why we can't. We're an excuse maker. We always have an excuse. Why are you late for work? Well, traffic was bad. Well, did you leave earlier? No. I leave at this time. You know, this is my time. Well, you're late. You know, don't make excuses. We make excuses for things, don't we? why we maybe did what we did or why we said what we said. You know, them excuses, you know, are something that, you know, makes us hold on to those past thinking. And another thing we do, and we've looked at this before, is we live on defense rather than offense. You know, always afraid of making a mistake. You know, as you go through life, sometimes we make mistakes. Maybe we've been prone to mistakes. And, you know, due to those mistakes we've made in life, we're kind of afraid to move. We're afraid to maybe try something new, something that hasn't been tested yet. So it's so much easier just to lean on those past failures because we know that pain is manageable because we've dealt with that pain. But we're kind of afraid of trying something new. Because I'm not sure what that feels like yet. You know what I'm saying? And see, those past failures are going to hold us in check and keep us from stepping out. And as that comes in, then the next problem is we live with diminished expectations well short of our God-given potential. So then after all those things happen, we kind of give up a little bit. We live with diminished expectations, meaning that instead of setting our sights really high, we set them really low. Something that we can attain without even trying. Well, that's not going to help us to get better, is it? No, we're going to have increase in our life. We've got to stop living with diminished expectations and start seeing the fact that what God can do through us by the grace of God. Grace is God's power working in our life. And to me, people, we're never too old for this. I don't care how old you are. Maybe you've already got your casket picked out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you're at that phase right now. You still can change. You can still live with expectancy. Living with that excitement of what God can do in our life. The things that He can bring, the things that we can affect, and the things that we can do. Whatever it is. And if you're young here today, man, just hop right on this real quick. You know, start living life to the fullest. Seeing what God can do through you. Seeing the mark that you can make upon this planet. To be able to see His kingdom come. See, don't live with these diminished expectations that fall short of our God-given potential. God has put something inside of you, something special, and it's up to us to be able to draw that out. Another thing that we do is the fact that we sometimes identify with that failure as who we are rather than just being just a mistake, a bump in the road, things that we've made. You identify with that failure as your personality, who you are. I am that person. I'm the one that always fails. I'm the one that always does this. You know, I'm a loser. May not say that word out loud, but we feel like it, and we project that in our life. So we have to break that. Another thing that kind of might, you know, stick a little bit in our craw is the fact that sometimes, God forbid, we can become stubborn and unwilling to change. Because of maybe fear, afraid of losing something, or the fact that something new or something that if we change, that would be a confession that we've been making some wrong choices all along. So we're afraid of that new step. We become stubborn and not willing to change. We're just locked in a way that holds us in bondage there. It's going to get better here, folks. Here we come to some positive things now. This is how we turn this around. Paul said he presses on. You know, that's just determination right there. To press means to look towards the mark at the end of the race. See, instead of just looking a few feet in front of us, this word press means to look at the end. Look at the destination. Be destiny driven. Where are we heading? Where is it that we want to go, and what is it we want to be when we get there? You know, to me, we got to keep on keeping on, because if we don't quit, we can't lose. You got to look at it that way. If we don't quit, we can't lose. Just the way it is. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. Just got to keep getting up and keeping the game and keep running your race. And with doing that, you know, hopefully you found purpose in your life. Purpose is a reason why we get up every day. A lot of people who retire without something to do, some of them die fairly quickly because they don't have a purpose, they don't have a reason to get up every day. We have to have a reason. You know, let God be that reason. Let the call of God on your life be that reason why you get up and you want to see what He can do through you. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, we have the keys to the kingdom and we need to use them to unlock God's plan for our life. Jesus said has given us the keys to the kingdom. If you got the keys, you got the power, right? You know, if you're out with somebody and you got the keys, they can't leave you, right? Why? Because you're driving. You got the keys. And that's important. Well, Jesus gave us the keys through delegated authority, keys to the kingdom of God. And see, we can unlock them, the potential, you know, that God put on us. And by doing that is how we do it is, you know, we keep our eyes on the prize. The prize was the victor's crown, which Paul was talking about here. A lot of the illustrations he used was kind of Olympic-based to some degree, talking about, you know, competing and running your race and doing all these things. And here these guys would, you know, run all these miles and go through all this brutal stuff, and all they would get is a little crown made out of leaves. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know about you, but I'd want something more. But somehow that crown was enough. And that's the victor's crown. And see, that's the crown that you and I are going to receive if we stay faithful to the race that God has placed before us and we leave this life, we receive that gift of the victor's crown. That is promised to you, and that is promised to me. Just by staying faithful to the things of God. You know, we need to develop a forward-focusing mentality. Always looking what's coming, and that's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And here's some ways that we could do that. I want you to write down forward-focusing mentality. That's what we want to do this year. You know, as we shed those shackles and run free, you have to be running to a destination. That comes by, number one, we look for solutions rather than make excuses. Find a way. Yes, life is hard. Yes, things aren't going to go your way. Yes, things aren't going to happen the way that you want to happen all the time. But we've got to find a way. Don't be a quitter. Be somebody who fulfills the plan that God has for them. Live your life on offense rather than defense. Don't be afraid to fail, but look at the fact that God has called you to win and brought you to that place that He wants you to be. You know, we live with overcoming expectations. It doesn't matter what life throws us, but we're going to overcome it. See, the Bible talks about us being more than an overcomer. I know an overcomer would have been fine. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm an overcomer. No, He says, you're more than an overcomer. More than an overcomer. You've heard that story I've told. I heard this a long time ago. I don't think I've shared it for a while. And this boxer was in the ring, and he had supposed to be the two best boxers of that day fighting each other, and whoever was going to win that battle was going to be the renowned champion of the world. And so they went in there, and it went 15 rounds and just beat on each other and just pounded on each other. And at the end of the fight, towards the end of the fight, one boxer got the upper hand and knocked the other boxer out. And so the announcer came in and lifted his arm high and handed him a paycheck and says, you are the overcomer. You have won. You are the champion of the world. About then, his little 5'2" wife hops in the ring, runs up to her husband and takes the check out of his hand. She was more than an overcomer. Amen. She was more than an overcomer because she took it from the overcomer. And see, we're more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. You know, we need to see who we are in Christ and understand the part that that we play in His plan. So we're starting a new year. And like I said, I enjoy this time of year. For the last 40 years of my life, I've done something, and I've shared before, I read through the Bible every year. I've done it 40 times to date. I got started that way because the pastor's wife really encouraged it. Was in the Bible school there, and she just really explained the importance of reading through the Bible, and I bought in, and I've just done it every year. And something unique happens every year in January, especially on January the 1st, first thing in the morning when I wake up. I always read the Bible first thing when I wake up. And I turn back. See, it's kind of weird because on December 31st, I'm already at the end of Revelation, and I'm in Malachi, the last two books of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it seems odd. Then all of a sudden, you got to take your bookmark and move it all the way to the front, to Matthew and Genesis. But there's something unique because I always read the Old Testament first, and then I do the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, every year, January 1st, first thing in the morning, I read three words in the beginning. And that's a reset. Amen. It's a reset.
Yes.
Because every new year is in the beginning. You know, last year was okay. I'm to be honest, to me, 2025 was awesome. I had a lot of great things happen in my life. And that's why I named it the Year of Opportunity. And I'll be honest, there was a lot of opportunities came my way. It was great. But somehow when I said on January 1st, and I read in the beginning, it just opened up my mind to new expectations, new things that are possible, new possibilities. And you know what the next word is? God. In the beginning, God. What is God going to do? God's always up to something.
Yes.
He's always up to something. And I just can't wait to see it all.
Amen.
You know, I'm just along for the ride, praise God. I like to see what He's going to do, and I follow the leading of the Spirit and just see where God's going to lead me this year and the things that He's going to do, and it's just so awesome. And so to me, it's so important that we become the best version of ourselves that God called us to be. And there's a reason why I believe that. You know, it's not that I just want to go to heaven, and I do, but I believe because of my relationship with God, I want to be a witness. I want to reach a lost and dying world. And to be able to do that, I have to be the best version of me that I can. I don't want to be a stumbling block. You know, and I want to allow God to work, because I know that God gives grace, and grace is so important. Without grace, we can't accomplish anything. But to me, grace from God must be followed by obedience by us. So I have obedience in my life, and I follow Him. And there's a reason. I shared this a while back, and God spoke to me this, and it's something that I want for our church, especially if you're in ministry here at the church and serving and hospitality, teaching, whatever you're doing, you know. Maybe you're sitting there and looking pretty. I don't know. Some of you do that. It's all good. We're going to try to recruit you more. But to me, I want to live my life that don't be the reason someone misses their moment. Because we all have opportunities to have moments with God. And I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody that they missed their moment because I wasn't ready, or I did not do my job. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm just tired of making excuses. I want to make solutions. I want to find a way. So to do that, be like the Apostle Paul. Forget what past failures and press on for the upward call of God in your life. Amen? See what God can do. At this time, I'm going to have a couple of my assistants come up. Amen? They're going to assist us. And going to pass out some papers. I want each person to take one. And it's a little bit of an assignment that I want you guys to try to accomplish. It's real easy. Five questions I'd like you to answer this soon. Not today. Or at least not right now. And it's going to be about some self-evaluation and self-reflection questions that I hope you kind of process in your mind. I'm going to read them quickly, and they're going to be online for those listening online. First one is, what old thing do I want to let go of? What new thing do I want to grab a hold of? What are some actionable steps I need to do to achieve my desired goal? And then what are some things I can do to enhance my relationship with God in 2026? Then lastly, what do I need to do to better grow in God's kingdom and to be a service to my church? And those are questions I'd like you to spend a little time. Put it on the front burner. Don't just put it off. Please don't fold them up, throw them in the trash. At least wait till you get home so don't break my heart. You know what I'm saying? You know, but spend a little time thinking about these things. It's a good little assignment. I doubt anybody will die with this. Just your flesh, maybe, as you think about some of them. But I encourage you to do these things. And we're going to close in prayer right now, and that concludes our online service. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer.